Let's get at it. We got a general manager of not just the St. Louis Blues, but general manager of Team Canada. The day after the Sweet 16 World Cup team announcement, Doug Armstrong joining us. How are you, Doug?
Very good, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
We're good. We're good. Was this really, in a lot of ways, the PR part, the easy part, the tough part, obviously the next seven?
Well, I think it was difficult to pare it down to just this group of 16. So many good candidates that were not named in this group, but it is the first step in the process, and we're looking to get the total roster of 23 named, and then we can work towards becoming just one team.
Hey, Doug, just curious how much of a distraction this was, let's say, over the last 5 or 6 days when you consider how important trade deadline was for your club team.
It wasn't really that much, John. We had done a lot of our meetings up until this point. We had a final one on Friday, a full 3 days prior to the deadline. So we were prepared to really focus in on our day jobs, as they say. But the process has been ongoing and fluid, so it wasn't like we just got together here with last week and decided, okay, what do we want to do? I think we had worked towards getting this list really almost for 4 or 5 months.
Doug, you had a good line yesterday, I thought, when you said that you get to anger people twice instead of just once now with the way that these teams are selected. How did you handle maybe some of the guys you didn't name yesterday and just kind of communicating with those sorts of players?
Well, what we tried to do as Representative Hockey Canada was reach out to all the players that played in Sochi that weren't named to thank them for their support previously, and talk to them about where they stand in this process moving forward. And those are difficult phone calls to make, but we wanted to show the respect of those players. And it's, I had a difficult conversation with two of our players on Tuesday night, I think it was, in Ottawa after a game, telling Alex and Jay Bouwmeester that they weren't going to be in this group, and told them, what we were doing, naming the four guys, and that we just would move forward, and they need to continue to play well to stay on the radar screen.
Some teams named two goaltenders, some named three. How did you decide on three?
Well, I think Carey Price obviously is the one that hasn't played, and we wanted to give him the opportunity to be on the team, and we went through the process with the Montreal Canadiens and Carey to get his name on that list. And then I looked at the other two spots. We have, I think, the two goaltenders that are 1-2 in wins in the NHL this year, both in the top 10 in goals against and save percentage. And we wanted to let those two know that where all three of those goalies know that if one goes down for whatever reason between now and the start of the tournament, that there's a strong belief in the other two. And we just thought it was the easiest way to sort of put that position to bed and move forward.
Well, one of the challenges will be now, Doug, and you've been through this, experienced this through the other Hockey Canada events you've worked in, is the third goaltender, if Carey can't play, really is not going to play. And does it make sense to bring Roberto Luongo along, or does it make sense to bring a younger guy who you see in the next 5 or 6 years contributing to the Hockey Canada program? And the guy that jumps out at me right away is your goaltender in St. Louis, Jake Allen. Does it make sense to bring a young guy along to get acclimatized?
Well, you want to bring someone in that, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but that can play in a big game. We saw what happened, I think, in the last World Cup when Roberto went in the semifinal game. Marty got injured, I think, and he had to play. So we want to bring the best players. I know it probably was that World Cup too, John, that they did bring four or five younger players around just for the experience. Mm-hmm. I think you can do that also. But ultimately, you want to have the arsenal to go to battle with.
Doug, you've had the good fortune in some ways to work a lot of different international competitions. I mean, what do you expect from this World Cup? It's sort of a new event, and I don't think anyone knows quite what it's going to be like. I mean, what are you anticipating it's going to feel like and be like in September here in Toronto?
Well, I'm only going on the past experience of talking to Ken Hitchcock on the last World Cup, and he was shocked at the speed of the players, and just everybody's coming with a fresh outlook on the game again. players are excited for training camp. I know it's hard to believe, but they after a long summer, they want to get back to work, and these guys are going to jump in and going 100 miles an hour. So I think the pace of play is going to be great. I'm interested, like everyone else, to see these two new teams to come in, the North America and the World Team, to see how they can gel together. It's one thing to put the Canadian jersey on, the American jersey on, and the list goes on and on. You played with these people and you've known these guys for a number of years. Now, this new group is going to have to come in, and there's no instant synergy unless they play on the NHL teams together. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. But it's going to be great to have so many of the future stars of our game at this event.
Doug Armstrong, general manager of the St. Louis Blues, general manager of Team Canada in the upcoming World Cup, joining us, Hockey Central. Gord Stellick, John Shannon, Chris Johnston with you. And we're showing some clips of the battle of the other night, Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel. When you talk about Team North America, just curious, your gang, if they had to pick the 23 now, how many guys under 24 do you think? What's the best guesstimate that would have been on the team, but now you can't pick?
Well, I'd say McDavid, he would have been hard to keep off and hard to put on also. You know, when he's played this year, he looks fantastic, but he does have the injury. And then I think the young defenseman, Ekblad of Florida, would be certainly in that consideration on that right-hand side as one of the final two spots. A dominant player. You see how the Florida Panthers have responded as an organization the last 2 years with him on their team. So I think those are two guys that would certainly be in the long debate list if they were available.
Changing gears, the St. Louis Blues, you're familiar with them. I look at the Central Division standings, and with all your injuries, Doug, you're 2 points out of first place. Quite frankly, I think it may be one of the great unsung stories of the season, how well your team has played with so many injuries.
Yeah, I give the credit goes to the players for just keeping focused on the task at hand and not dwelling on what we don't have. There's depth in our organization that goes to our pro scouting staff, but I think Bill Armstrong and the amateur scouts have to take a bow. Robbie Fabry, Edmondson and Parenko, three first-year players that have come in and played for us and had to play for us right from the get-go, have done very well. And you have to have young players in today's game. I think the pro scouts getting someone like Scotty Upshaw to come in, he's been a very good player for us, a really good utility forward. And then just, our goaltending has been really good. When you have injuries, you have to rely on goaltending. I know for a fact Brian Elliott's numbers for that six-week span when Jake Allen was hurt were the best in the NHL from save percentage and goals against. And so we are very fortunate to have guys just grab the rope. And I'm looking forward to, as you said there, you get to know your Blues. I really don't know them yet because we haven't had them all together, but I'm looking forward to that day.
Doug, just one more housekeeping World Cup item I'm curious about. yesterday, Bill Daly and Donald Fehr mentioned that teams are going to be allowed to have a meeting in the summer, kind of an optional meeting for players. Is Team Canada going to, do that, do you think?
I'm going to talk to Mike and Hockey Canada about that. And I think it's easier for, obviously, Finland and Sweden and some of those smaller countries. You can pick a spot, everyone can jump in a car and get there in 4 hours. That's right. A little bit harder, I think, if you're summering in Halifax or summering in British Columbia. So if there's a purpose to the meeting, I think we'll certainly do it, but there has to be a purpose to it to get together to go over logistics. I think we can do that in different ways, but we want to find out exactly what we're allowed to do in that meeting, and then I'm certainly going to allow Mike to weigh in heavily on whether he thinks it's necessary or we can do it via Skype, via conference call, or different ways.
You mean you don't want to have a ball hockey tournament?
Worked out pretty good in Sochi, John.
I'm not sure if that one's going to be allowed anymore.
Well, how about the amount of training camp, though? That, just as far as being able to put an identity on a team compared to having, one full practice when you're at the Olympics. And, I mean, all the countries now will get a chance for, almost a real NHL-style training camp. So I'm curious, if you want to put an imprint, a personality, or something that embodies Team Canada, what do you think it'll be?
Well, I think it's going to be speed and tenacity. I think that Mike is going to get these guys ready to work. And Like our training camp though in the NHL, players can skate and they can train all summer, but it's different when you get competition out there. And having these three exhibition games, we really want to be smart with our athletes in the sense that, you know, it's going to be the time of the hip flexors and the sore groins and pulled groins that come at that time of year. So we want to have enough of a training staff, probably extra training staff early, to make sure that we get these guys ready to go for the first game of the tournament. The three exhibition games, you know, you're going to start out playing potentially back-to-back with only 23 bodies. There's no extra bodies this time of year. So we really want to manage our energy level correctly during training camp, and we also want to make sure that we get to the tournament starting to peak.
You know, in Sochi, you guys did just a magnificent job of adapting what Mike coached, and the players did a tremendous job, to the 200 by 100 ice surface. Is 200 by 85 an advantage for Canada now, or just because almost every player plays in the NHL now, it won't make a difference?
I don't think it makes a difference now. I think that obviously with the format of this tournament, the number of players that are going to be playing in North America in the NHL coming, everyone's going to be used to the ice surface, so it's not a advantage or a disadvantage. I think the best athletes adapt very quickly also.
I guess before we let you go, Doug, yesterday Dean Lombardi said that you guys are the favorites and he was building a team that could beat Canada. Do you agree with him?
I think it's going to be a great tournament. I think that the U.S. is they're always a formidable foe, and I think the Russians are going to come. You look at that Swedish defense. I appreciate Dean saying that, but we're not taking any. I don't think there are any front runners in this. You have to come. You have to participate. And you have to be ready to play.